tonight. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Sometimes I think about how God views sin, the severity that God views sin. You know, you really think about it, when sin was laid on His Son, He thought so strongly against sin that He allowed His Son to give up His life for it. My God hates sin. I could start naming all the little sins that in the Bible you and I would say were little sins, and God dealt with them in a severe way. And we've kind of been done down in this world we live in. I want to tell you, God hates sin. He hates sin tonight. And we have to be aware of that. Well, I want to go back to Judges chapter number 14, or to Judges chapter number 14 tonight. I want to preach this. I think it'll be a short message. I don't know. It may be much longer than I think, but really, I just want to try to get across a few little truths to you. And I'll probably read 7 verses tonight. That'll be sufficient. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brother or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down, his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased him well." If you would, pray with me and for me, please. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and Lord, I'm a needy creature. You know that. You know I say it every time I stand almost, Lord. I need you to help me, and if you don't help me, my preaching will be in vain tonight. And Father, I ask you to open the hearts of the listeners. I ask you to do an eternal work in our midst this evening. If there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, I ask you, Father, if you would, to please refrain it or hold it back and allow the Spirit free course in our midst tonight. Please, Father, help our people. Please, Father, do a work. I say, Lord, please speak to your people tonight and help them. We'll give you the glory for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we started talking about Samson. I don't know. It's a worn-out text. Some of you might say it's a child's text. Some might even say, but there's some great truths for us. We're going to talk about Samson's parents, and then we're going to talk, if the Lord will allow me to, we're going to talk about his problems. Samson had some problems, and then we see he had a plight that came in his life when the enemy overcame him. But then we see he made peace, and so maybe if the Lord will let me, I can preach through those 3 or 4 little points. But I want to talk about his parents again tonight, if I could, for just a little bit. And I'm of the persuasion that Samson had godly parents. I'm convinced that Samson's parents were godly. Now, you can think what you want to think, but we said this last service, we said this, that godly parents, and I'm basing this on Samson's parents, they assume the responsibilities of parenting. And with children comes responsibility. And then we said that they take God's biblical instructions for child rearing seriously. And you remember Manoah went to God and said, hey, we want to be sure we've got this right. Would you send the man of God back to help us? And then we said, that, and I didn't say it quite this way, but I think it's a better way to say it. Godly parents do not expect more out of their children than they're willing to do. And I put a little note here, his mother practiced the requirements of the Nazarite vow as well. And then we said, godly parents must live holy if they expect to be effective in teaching their children holiness. I could use the word separated, been saying, I would have had the same thought in mind had I used that word. And then we said godly parents realize that separation is to be a taught lifestyle to their children from the womb to death. And I want to just stop there. A lot of times parents say this, when my children 10, 11, 12 years old, then we'll do this. Can I say, parents, start teaching your children when they're young. We spent enough time on that last time, but I just want to encourage you. This thing's from the womb till death. Same lifestyle. Well, you say they made fun of Samson. They said he got left out. He's scarred. I don't know what they said, and you don't either, but I'm sure somebody had something to say. He didn't get to do like some of the other kids did, but it was right in the eyes of God. And then we said this, that godly parents realizes that God has a specific personal word for each of their child's life. Now, the angel who they thought was the man of God said this, he's going to be used to begin the deliverance of Israel from the Philistine bondage. So they knew he had a purpose. And every one of these young people in this room have a purpose. We've talked about that. And so we need to realize that. You need, parents, you need to develop the spiritual potential that is in your children. You need to teach them the Word of God. You need to teach them to memorize Scripture. By the way, we've lost our emphasis on memorizing Scripture. We ought to get back to that. We ought to get back to it. And I'm not just saying for the sake of trying to impress or outdo somebody, but the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. Now I'm going to tell you, those children's going to need that word somewhere in their life. And you better take that seriously. And so we said that godly parents realize their children have a specific personal word that's just for them. A spiritual word that's just theirs. And so develop them and help them. And then we said this, that godly parents seek assurance that they're doing right. And we already said about Manoah going back to the Lord. Godly parents sacrifice to and for the Lord. Godly parents view their children as blessings and not burdens. Godly parents provide for their children. And godly parents will realize the hand of the Lord at work in their child's life from time to time. And so we talk much about that. But I want to change gears tonight. And I want to say this to you. After Samson, I want you to look. Let me just show you something real quick, if I can, before we go on. Notice chapter 13 and verse 24. The Bible says this, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. Now jump down in verse number 1 of chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. So from chapter 13 and verse 24 to chapter 14 verse 1, in 3 verses, we go from birth to marrying age. Now I want you to understand that. We go from birth to marrying age. He's an adult now. When we get to verse number 1, this child that was a baby, 2 verses above that, is now an adult. Now here's what I'm saying. We're not told a whole lot about the parenting that what went on during from the birth till we get to chapter 14. And there's a lot of things we can, assume or make an assumption on or whatever word we need to use, but Here's where I want to pick up tonight. Just leave a few little truths with you and maybe not keep you too long. Here's what I want you to understand. After their child was grown, he's marrying age, if I can say that. He's a grown man. After he's grown, their parenting's not over. Just stop and think about that. Now, if I was to title this message, it's Dealing with Struggling Adult Children. Now, adult and children, you may think that's two different things, but really what I'm saying, grown children. Struggling, dealing with struggling grown children. That's where we're at tonight. We're not talking about you young families that's just got little ones around the house that you can bark and order. I shouldn't have said that like that. That you can train and teach and say, hey, you do this and you do that and you do that. And really, you're in charge. You're in control. You get to call the shots. Right now, mom and dad, with those young children, you get to be the boss. You get to say this is how it is, and you do what I say, and you see that it's done. And you, some of you older parents know that what I'm saying is right, and here's what I'm saying. But when they become grown, things change. Things change. Not the same. It's not the same as when they're little children. And so I want to talk about that tonight. And we've got parents here that have grown children that might be struggling. And I think there's a few little truths that we can glean out of this text that will help us. I think there is. And so I want to begin in chapter number 14, if I can, and just look at a few things. And so the first thing I want us to see that here's Samson, and I'm going to have to jump in the next message, if the Lord be willing, and share just a few little truths. Here's Samson with some problems. All of a sudden, Samson has some problems. And I'm going to mention just a few of them. And number one, he's not living separated anymore. We read about him going down the Philistine country, looking on the Philistine girl that he's not supposed to be interested in, according to the Word of God that they had. They were to be separated, not to yoke up with the inhabitants of the land. But he looked on her and he wanted her for a wife. And my, we could talk about that. He chose a wife. He went through the vineyards alone. I don't know if that meant he partook of the grapes. What I really think that his mom and dad were talking to him. Let me just show you this little truth, and I believe it to be a truth. I want you to notice what it says that, let's just begin reading in verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord. By the way, let me get ahead of my message. I don't think God's putting his stamp of approval on the unequal yoke. You think what you want to think. God does not operate contrary to his word. And when they went into Canaan, he said, hey, you don't partake of those natives, don't give your sons or your daughters, don't get wives for your sons from them, and don't give your daughters to them. And I don't think God went contrary to his word. You think what you want to, but I don't see it that way. I believe God's faithful to his word. He never operates outside of the word of God. I've had people say this to me. This is what God told me to do. It's outside the will of God. God never tell you to leave a good church and go to a liberal church. He won't do it. God won't tell you to leave a church and just start wandering around all over the country and just have no accountability and no responsibility. Can I tell you what you're doing? If you think that's the case, you're deceived and you're setting yourself up for a fall. The devil will trip you up if you wander and hop around from church to church and never assume the responsibility and never have any accountability. Now, you can get mad at me if you want, but that's just how it is. And any other thing that you hear somebody say that's contrary to the Word of God, you can rest assured some way they're confused and God didn't tell them to do that. Now, and the reason I say that is to justify my opinion that God's not putting His sanction on the unequal yoke. He's not doing it. And you can say whatever you want. And I think what the Bible's really telling us that Samson's parents didn't realize that God was going to take this unequal yoke and use it to attack His enemy. And so, but I want you to notice that's just a little side point. But here's what I want you to notice in verse 5. Then went Samson, now think about his father and mother saying, hey, you're looking at a Philistine woman. Why don't you get a wife out of our people? And then we come down to verse 5. Then went Samson down, his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards in Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now here's what's happened. They split up. And you say, why have they split up? I think even as they're going down to Timnath, his mom and dad said, Samson, this ain't what you need to do. This ain't right. You're going the wrong way. And I think what Samson did, he just broke off the fellowship. I'm going this way. I ain't listening to it. I'm going my way. And then he goes down there, runs into the lion, slays the lion, and he's so upset and angry at his parents. I don't even think he told. Well, the Bible says he didn't say anything to his parents about the lion. Why, my goodness, you know he told his parents if he wasn't angry, if the relations wasn't strained, if they wasn't sideways a little bit. So that's what I think's going on. And so I want you to kind of understand that as I start working. Samson has some problems. He's not practicing separation like he's been raised to. He doesn't realize particular spiritual principles. And I guess I'll just preach this with it, I guess. He did not realize how the enemy, the Satan or the devil, uses the eye gate. He did not realize the vanity and the deception of outward beauty and the shallowness of outward beauty. Now, I don't think you ought to go around just any old way. You ought to look your best. But the fact of the matter is, outward beauty can deceive. You can be beautiful on the outside and ugly as a mud fence on the inside. You know I'm telling you right. There's a lot of folks like that. And my, if you're just looking at the outside, you're going to be led to deception. And so he didn't realize that. I don't think he realized the importance of the marriage decision. In my mind, the second greatest decision you ever make is your spouse that you choose for life. I rate it right behind salvation. And I'm committed. He didn't realize how important that was. Here's what I'm trying to say. He has some problems. I don't even think he realized, he didn't even realize he ought to have respect for his mom and dad. I just sense about him a sense of disrespect, of disdain for anything they have to say. And so I want to talk to you about dealing with adult children for a little while. Because that's what they're doing in verse chapter number 14 rather. They're young. He's young. He's a young adult. He's marrying the age, but still an adult child. And my, there's some things we can learn about that will help us. And maybe I'm preaching more to my age group tonight. I don't know. But I want us to see if there's not a few things that we can draw from this truth. Now, the first thing I see, I do not see Samson's parents playing a self-analysis of their parenting history. I don't see them saying, well, honey, if we'd have just done that, or if we'd have just done this, or maybe look where we failed. And I understand they no doubt did fail. I'm going to share with you what I think one of their failures was. They were godly parents, but not perfect parents. And I want to say to you today, if you're not careful, mom and dad, the devil will beat you up and whip you and cause you to live defeated over your struggling adult children. And I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. I really don't think that. We don't see them placing the blame on themselves and having a pity party. We just don't see that. And here's what I'm saying. If you reasonably did the best you could do to the best of your knowledge, that's all you can do. You've done the best you can. You've done your part. And now it's up to God to do His part. And I say quit blaming yourself, mom and dad, if you are. And just give it to God and let Him do in their life what He's doing. You don't see them playing that blame game. They're not doing that. Now listen, I understand nobody can say I've done the very best I could do all the time. But reasonably, most of us who love our children, we try to do about the best we could do for them. Best we know how, we try to raise them and do right. And so when we come to this, I just want to encourage you, mom, dad, if you're dealing with struggling adult parents, don't blame yourself. Don't put the blame. Don't accept that. Don't focus on that. Don't start trying to self-analyze and figure out what you done wrong. And we all have things we would do again. And you young parents that's raising children, there'll be times that you'll look back when your children are grown and said, I wished I had done this, or I wished I had went this route, stood the route I went. But here's what I'm saying. Do the best reasonably. Do the reasonable best you can do. Turn it over to God and let God do with it what He wants to do. And that's what I see in this. I don't see them playing any of that. Now they may have, the Bible not told us, but I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm not going to preach what the Bible doesn't say. And that's, I guess you're saying, well, that's kind of what you're doing. But I'm just implying that they didn't do that. I don't see it. I'm just saying it this way. I don't see that in the Word of God. And so I want you to understand that today. And I think the devil plays a lot of games with us like that. I say to you, just hold your head up. If you've done the best you can, and go on for the glory of God. And so the first thing I see is they put aside self-analysis and they put aside self-blame, and they just sought to help their child the best they could. And when we come to verse number 3, it looks like Samson's made his mind up. Here's what he said in Samson, the last part of verse 3, and Samson said unto his father, get her for me. There they are, they're giving advice. Samson's made his mind up. Now, listen, I understand. I don't know who was the blame. I don't know how Samson's got from a mother who practiced the Nazarite vow while he was in the womb and a dad who was seeking assurance from how to raise his child. I don't know how he's gotten from that as a baby and is coming into the world to where he's at now. Now, here's what I do know. I know parenting can affect that. But I also know that a child can be rebellious. He can be raised right. Now the Bible promises train up a child the way he should go when he's old. By the way, when Samson was old, he did do right. Is that not so? Did he not do right? Did he not die right? I mean, there's a lot we can say about it. There's one thing we have to say. He died right. He died victorious. I mean, he took out more of the enemy of God in his death than he did all his whole life. And there's a lot of bad you can say, but I'm telling you, he died a victorious death. Oh my, I think that's important. I think that's important right there, because see, if our children die victorious, spiritually victorious, the rest of it is not quite as important as that is. Victorious death, what do you mean? If they die and they end up in heaven, they go to heaven when they die. Hey, these other things, they'll miss out. They'll miss rewards and all that. But can I say, if they die victorious and end up in heaven, they've missed hell.
They missed that awful place where they to spend eternity in. I say to you, the most important thing is that they die with spiritual victory in their soul. And Samson did that, by the way. All right, let's go on. Number one, they didn't analyze. They didn't blame themselves. And so it looks like verse number three is Samson's made up his mind. But you know what I see in this passage too? His parents never quit reasoning with their adult child. Here he is struggling spiritually. And they told him in verse 3, but then they start down towards Timnath. And I think the fact that they went separate paths, Samson wouldn't talk to him when they got back together and tell him about the life. I think they're still talking to him. I think they talked to him all the way to Timnath. I just believe they just kept trying to reason with him. And here's what I say. Godly parents dealing with struggling adult children, they never quit reasoning. They never quit reasoning. They never quit talking to them about the truth. Now, I do understand this. You can be offensive. I understand that. You have to be careful about that. But you always try to keep telling the truth. I mean, they're on their way to Timnath. I'm as convinced as I'm standing here that they were struggling between themselves because the parents was telling him, hey, Samson, you ought not to do this. You ought to get your wife up there amongst our people. And Samson wouldn't listen. They just kept telling. You say they won't listen. Just keep giving them the truth and keep giving them the truth. And when you get an opportunity, give them the truth. And if they get mad, back off for a little bit. And when they settle down, give them the truth again. Just keep giving them the Word of God. There ain't no telling what God might do. Amen. Ain't no telling what God might do. Never quit reasoning. Never just say, there's no use saying anything about it, and I'm just not saying no more about it. I don't think that's of God. You say, well, they're adults. They've made up their mind. Well, they might change their mind if you just keep talking to them and doing it in the right way. You say, well, it'll make them mad. Well, if they really anything to them at all, they'll get over it and still love you. I mean, that's just how it is. And so here's what I see. Number one, they didn't self-analyze their parenting skills and blame themselves, but they never quit reasoning with Samson. Even when he said, hey, that's the one for... I believe they're still talking. Even while they're going to Tim, they're still talking. Still dealing with him. And so should you. If I could say it this way, they, and this will get into my next point, but they stayed close to their child as long as they could. They stayed close to their child as long as they could. And sometimes adult children, they may tax you. In fact, they will tax you. One somebody said this to me not long ago. Young adults today don't think like we did when we was young adults. I don't know if that's so, but it might be. It could be. And I'm going to throw out a little thing here, and it might sound like I'm throwing stones, but I'm really not. Really, young adults today don't even want to talk to you on telephone. They want to send you a two-line message. That's the truth. I don't know why that is. They don't want to talk to you. They ain't got time to fool with you, I guess. They won't send you just a text and you text back. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'm getting where I like it pretty good. I mean, it just takes a lot of stuff out of the way as far as that goes. I mean, there's some things about it. But sometimes ain't it just good to talk to somebody? Just sit down and carry on a conversation and just maybe just fellowship a little bit. Well, I'm not throwing off on texting either. I ain't trying to back you in a corner or anything like that. But I'm just saying it's a little different thought pattern what it was when I was a young adult. A little bit different there. And so the parents, they never quit reasoning with their children. But number three, I said this, they stayed close to him. I mean, when he went to Timnath, they went too. They wasn't in favor of it, but they went. You know why? They wanted to position themselves so they could keep talking. Here's what I'm saying. Godly parents try to position yourself in a position to communicate to your adult child as long as possible. You may be the only source of godly truth that's crossing their ears. Just stop and think about that. You may be the only hope of them hearing truth. They may be running with the Philistine crowd. And can I tell you, position yourself where you can keep the lines of communication open if it's possible. I mean, go down the road with them as far. I'm not telling you to compromise. I'm not telling you to maybe sell out your convictions or something along that line. But I'm just saying stay as close to your child as you possibly can. I know it's frustrating. I know there's times you want to pull your hair out. You just feel like just throwing up your hands. Just keep giving them the truth. Stay close as you can where you just keep giving truth and giving truth and giving truth. Be there where they're at. Position yourself to communicate to them. That's what I'm trying to say. We've got many families and they have adult parents, adult children that struggle. My, stay where you can talk to them. Don't alienate them if you can help it. Don't sacrifice your convictions. Don't allow, by the way, don't allow them to make a verbal whipping boy out of you. I've seen that. I've seen ungodly children take out their frustrations on the parents and just treat their parents, just verbally whip them. Just verbally abuse them, if I can say that way. I want to say, Mom, Dad, I don't think the Lord's pleased with that. I don't think the Lord's pleased with that at all. I'm not talking about that. But just stay where you give them a word at the right time. Position yourself. Position yourself. Now, I want you to notice verse number 10 of chapter 14 with me. I didn't read down that far. But I want you to notice this, and I'm going to just give you what I think. You may disagree with me. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made their feast, for so used the young men to do. Now there's several ways you can look at this, and I could make it go either way, but if I tell you what I really think, here's what I think. I think Samson's dad went just a little bit too far. Here's what I would have done. I'd have kept talking all the way to Timnath. I believe this is what I would have done. I don't know. I didn't walk in those shoes. But I believe I'd have tried to have walked to Timnath with him. And then I'd said, son, you're going to have to make your decision. And if you go this route, I'm not going to be part of it. I believe that would have been the right thing for him to do. But that doesn't make him an ungodly dad because he made a mistake. Every godly parent in this house tonight's made mistakes with their children. You know I'm telling you right. And I really think, and I'm not trying to be attackful towards Manoah. The more I've read this, the more I have appreciated him and his wife. I think maybe he went too far. He if I could say this, he enabled Samson to do an ungodly deed. And so I want to say this to you parents that have struggling adult children. Refuse to be an enabler. Don't enable them to partake of wickedness if you can help it. I'll go as far as to say this. Don't be a partaker of their sin. When you enable them to sin, you're a partaker. And so don't be a partaker of it. And let me just stop and say this. What I'm preaching is easy preaching. It's hard living. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what to do at times. You have a concern that your decision may make matters worse. That always runs through your mind. If I do this, that's going to drive them to here or drive them to there. And they're going to be, maybe Samson's dad thought if I don't let them marry, they're going to live in adultery or fornication. And I know that isn't right. And this is the... I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I want to say this. Don't. I believe it's right not to be an enabler of your children to commit sin. And I've seen that happen a lot. I've seen mom and dad finance a sinful lifestyle. You have too.
If you've been around, looked around. I've known children wouldn't work a bit, and yet they live the party life. Where they get their money? There's only one place, mom and dad. That's the only place it could be. Well, they're doing this or that. Well, maybe they're so, but they're too lazy to work. They don't have a work ethic. They're too lazy to work. And somebody's financing the operation. They're going all weekend, living the big life and spending and doing and living an ungodly lifestyle. Hey, I'm saying, mom and dad, don't be an enabler. Don't be a partaker of their sin. That may strain relations. If I don't do that, they're going to get mad and they're going to do, I understand. I don't understand. I understand that. But I'm trying to tell you what I think is the Bible truth. And so number one, when you're dealing with adult children, don't self-analyze. Don't place the blame on yourself. If you've done reasonably what you thought was right, and I'm not saying you didn't fail. If you tried to do right, you come up short. I know that. But if you done as right as you could have done, there's nothing else expected out of you. You can't do what you don't know, can you? And so I think the Lord understands that. And I'm not saying he excuses ignorance, but you can only be as obedient as you know to be. And then I want to say again, don't quit reasoning with your adult children. Keep on giving them truth. Keep on giving them truth. It's the Word of God that's going to help them. Not your opinion, not your little smart comments. Isn't that what most of us parents do? We think a little subtle way to gouge every time we get a chance. Isn't that right? You ever get like, you say, well, now you're talking about yourself. Well, maybe I am. Maybe it's just me. But don't you just wait till you have a little opportunity to throw a dig in there. And just kind of gouge a little bit, twist, and it makes you feel a little better. Kind of helps you with your frustration. Can I tell you what y'all do? Just give them the Word of God. It's much more powerful than your statements. He'll do a lot more than what you can do. Just say, hey, here's what the Bible says. Try it on. Just let it go. They can't argue with God. Most of them won't argue with God. Just say, hey, this is what God said. They might say, well, I think this is all right. Well, here's what the Bible says. God says it's not all right. Well, it takes you out of the equation. You're just telling them what God said. There ain't no room to argue, get mad at you. And so here's what I'm saying. Keep talking to them. Give them the truth. Give them the Word of God. Don't blame yourself. Position yourself. And then thirdly, position yourself so you're there to be able to take advantage when opportunity comes your way. Position yourself to communicate. And don't alienate if you can help it. Try to keep the lines of communication open. And then refuse to be an enabler. Don't partake of the sins. Don't help them live a sinful lifestyle. Be careful about that. And then I want you to notice what happened. Even though I'm convinced they were struggling in their relationship in verses 5 and 6, they were walking two different paths to the same place. Samson wouldn't even tell them about killing the lion. They wasn't talking. I'm as convinced in my soul as I'm preaching to you that they just wasn't talking. They just had a blow up. And they wasn't talking. And so they struggle along, and Samson goes down there and he does just the opposite of what they had told him he needed to do. They said, you need to get a wife up here out of our people. He went down there, contrary to their advice, spitting in their face, so to speak. He just said, hey, Dad, Mom, you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what you told me not to do. And so you'd think Mom, Dad just say, okay, you go that way, and that's the end of it. I want you to notice what happened down in verse number 19. They're having the little celebration there. And the wife, the so-called wife that pleased him so well, betrays him. They answer his riddle. Samson gets mad. You know the story, and gets the foxes and works on them. But I want you to notice what happened. I want you to notice what happened verse number 19 and the last part. And I said the foxes, in this case, he slew 30 men. and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto those which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled. But notice what he did. And he went up to his father's house. Now here we go again. They just got through fussing. He just did the very opposite of what Dad told him, advised him to do. I mean, just enough to could have said, if you're a parent of Samson, you're burnt up. You're frustrated as you can be. You're trying to talk sense to them. They won't listen. And so he's going on his way. But here he comes back to the house and said, hey, I need a place to stay, Dad. What's Dad do? Son, I've got a bed for you in there. Go in there and lay down. You need it, my table, and I'll provide you a place to sleep. But I'm not being part of your sin. Now here's what I'm saying. Don't forsake your children. Even if they're not going your way, even if they frustrate you, even if they aggravate you, even if they refuse your counsel and they won't listen, don't forsake your children. You may be the only help they have. You may be the only one they'll listen to. They need a bed to sleep in. You have it. You ought to help them. I'm not talking about being an enabler. I've already told you about that. Don't enable. But there's some necessities of life, and sometimes our children need help because they're struggling and because they're rebellious and because they won't listen to you and they get angry and won't talk to you. That doesn't. You've got to be big enough, Mom and Dad. You've got to be big enough to overlook that and help them in their time of need. That's just how it is. That's what he did. He let his son come back. Now what some of us have done, son, you ain't coming back to my house. You get home down the road, go down there and let your girlfriend find you a place to live. Isn't that right? Isn't that the attitude maybe some of us might have? And so, I'm telling you this, don't ever give up. So God, I've got five little principles and I'm going to give you one last thing on this thing of parenting. Let me go over them again. Don't blame yourself. Don't do it. I don't think that's wise. If you feel like you've really messed up, ask God to forgive you and go on. In fact, the matter is, the parenting that one child become rebellious on, that same parenting, there were other children that's following the Lord on it. Now, that'll be a clue to you some way or another. There is a rebellious spirit in some children. I talked to a child one time and I said, well, what would it have taken for you to not have went the route you went? And here's what they said to me. This was after the fact. They had married and had straightened up their life. And here's what they said. I don't think there's anything anybody could have said that kept me from doing what I did. I don't know, Tom, but that I think it might be. I think it very well could be. I've thought about that so much. I don't think there's anything my parents could have done or said kept me from going that route. I don't think a parent can blame themselves in that situation. And I say, parents, don't blame yourself. Keep on talking. If they're 65 years old and you're 90, you keep on telling the truth of the Word of God. Don't try to dig them. Don't try to gouge them just to make you feel a little better, make you feel like you've won, or you've got ahead of them, or you really stuck them. Don't do it. Just give them the Word of God, the Spirit of love. Here's what the Bible says. Most of the time, they don't even believe the Bible. They'll tell you something so contrary to the Word of God, it's not even funny. Yeah, I could just give you example after example of things I've heard that's, you'd say, why, that's somebody that don't know anything about the Bible. I guess that's so. But they were raised by godly parents in a Christian home. We've got family members on both sides, and it's unbelievable what some of them believe. And so, but never quit reasoning. Always keep yourself, number three, always keep yourself in the position that you can talk to. If you have to walk down the road towards Timothy, even if you're against it, go as far as you can before without compromising. I don't want you to compromise. I don't want you to sell out your convictions. But go with them. Walk with them as far as you can. Stay within talking distance, if I can say it that way. Stay within talking distance. They're talking to him. He got mad. He went a different path. He wouldn't talk to them about that great feat of killing the lion. But at least they were there to talk to him. So position yourself to talk to him. And don't be an enabler. Don't be an enabler. Don't be a partaker in your child's sin. If you're helping your child live a sinful lifestyle, you need to rethink things. Just stop and rethink things, Mom and Dad, and grandparents, or whoever I'm preaching, whoever's receiving tonight. Just rethink it. Don't be an enabler. And then, don't forsake your children. They may not listen to word. They may go contrary to every piece of advice you give them, every godly truth you give them. But you can't forsake them. I'm not talking about enabling them, but then the needs of life help your children. They're still your children. You need to love them. And you never know what a kind deed might do. I just wonder when he got down there at they punched his eyes out. I wonder. I've often thought about Manoah and his wife, and I don't think they knew about it. I don't know where they went, but we're going to see in a minute. They disappear off the scene. I think that verse I read about going back to your father's house, the last we read about his parents. And I just wonder, had they known what happened to their son, how they'd have dealt with that. I don't know. I don't know, but help your child. Go as far as you can go without compromising. That's what I'm saying. Be faithful to them. But then I want to give you one little last piece of truth. I believe it to be true. And I want to say this as sad as I have to say it. If your children choose an ungodly lifestyle, or a compromised lifestyle, and you purpose to live godly, now listen to what I'm saying, they just chose to leave you out of their life to a big part. You can't be part of their life. I mean, if they're compromised, if they're worldly, if they live in a life of sin, you can love them, you can stay close, you can give them good advice, you can help them their time of need, but really, you can't be part of that life. They've chose to go a different route. That's what I think we see with Manoah and his wife. They chose a godly life. Samson chose a carnal life, if I could say it that way. He chose a carnal life. And parents, it hurts. It hurts for me to say that. But the fact of the matter is, if your children choose to go contrary to God's way, and you're going God's way, You're basically out of their life. You can still be around from time to time, and I say stay as close as you can, but really, they're going a different route. They're going to have different friends. They're going to have different activities. They're going to go to a different kind of church if they go to church. And really, can I say this to you? That they made that decision and not you. And I don't know what to say. I don't know how to make it easy when I bring that across to you. But there's parents that's not part of their children's life because their children's not going the godly way. That's why you young parents better raise your children as godly as you can raise them. And so here's what I'm saying. If they make their choice and go their route, they just have to do it. And if you go with them, and you're going to partake, and you're going to run that path with them, it's going to destroy you spiritually. And I don't know what else to say. It's a sober way to end tonight. Here's what I'm saying. Do and be all you can for your adult struggling children. But in the end, if they choose to go another way with their life, you're out. If you're going to live for God. Now, they'll still talk to you. Don't get me wrong. They'll still be just a little bit. But it won't be what it's supposed to be. It won't be that. It won't be that close, intimate, loving relationship like it ought to be. They've went another way. They don't want to go the godly way. That's where Samson was. You don't read about him and his parents being together much anymore. Now, you say, did he ever talk to them again? I'm sure he did. But it really wasn't a close working I don't know the word I'm trying to think of, that family relationship that it ought to be. And may I say that, and I'm sad in my heart about that. I'm sad in my heart. Here's what I've decided. To the best of my ability, I'm going on with God. I've decided that. And I pray my family goes with me. They're going with me right now, Saint Mike. And I pray it's always that way. I pray it's that way. But I want to say this. If it's not, if by the grace of God, and I'm not bragging, I'm not bragging, I'm not walking them shoes, and I'm not trying to stick my chest out and say this or that, but here's what I'm saying. By the grace of God, I'm still going with God. I'm still going with Him. I'm not going to sell Him out for my children. I think about Eli, and he put more, I don't know what the word is, a higher priority, let me say, on his children than he did on God. And can I tell you, it didn't help him one bit. It didn't help him one iota. All it did was cause them to live a wicked and ungodly lifestyle and brought the judgment of God on his life and on the future family of Eli. Read it. Not only did it affect his son, not only did the act of him refusing to deal with his sons, not only did it affect their life, they died anyway, but it affected his life. And then if you'll read, it affected the future generations. He'd been just as right to have stood for God, been all he could for his children, but just stood for God against his children. And my, I'm not telling you to be cold-hearted, mean, and forsake your kids. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, go with God. Go with God. And that's the burden of my heart here. You see, we see a parent who had an infant child, really even before he was born. And then we see parents with an adult child. And the situation, totally different. Totally different. And boy, I could read over those things again, but I don't need to. Be all you can for your adult, struggling children, but stay true to God. That just sum it up tonight. Just stay true to God. If you do that, God bless you as much as He can. I don't know if that's a comfort or if that hurts or if that... I don't know what it does, but I believe I give you the truth tonight. I believe I give you the truth. And all of us have been in those shoes to some degree or another. And so I just challenge you, Mom and Dad, don't be an enabler. Don't turn them out. Don't turn your back on them. Stay, keep giving them the truth. Don't clam up. Just keep giving them the truth, the Word of God. And do what you're supposed to do. But when the dust settles, please stay true. Stay true to our Lord. And God will bless you for it. That's my message tonight. Brother Allen, I'd like to have a verse of an invitation. I don't know if there's a soul in the house here that might need to pray. I just don't know, but I'd ask you to bow your head tonight. God spoke to your heart, and maybe something's on your heart not even related to the message. You need to pray. Maybe you're here and lost, and you need to be saved. I don't know. I want to give you an invitation tonight. If you need to use these altars, you feel free to do so. Sing to us, Brother Allen, when you get ready tonight.